think will help us teach today. So I'm going to jump right in. So there's a Hebrew word on the screen, and it's a question from God. And when you get a certain question from God, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes it's not necessarily a good thing. Amen. God knows us. He knows our fears. He knows our thoughts. He knows our... I may give $1,000 if you can... I said may. If you could translate this, if you know what this is. He knows our thoughts. He knows our concerns. He knows what we're worried about. And he is omniscient. He is all-powerful. Nothing catches him by surprise. So when God asks us a question, sometimes it's always for our benefit, because why does God need to even ask a question? He already knows. Look at somebody and say, God already knows. And so a lot of times when God asks me a question, I'm like, uh-oh, you trying to get me to see something? You're trying to, it's almost like sometimes if you're married, you know, or of course we all have parents, and they say, who left the light on? And you know that question is a question for the listener to cut off the light. Why'd you leave this light on? All right. And in my household, I used to live in Clemson, where my landlord, our landlord, it was her landlord first, and then I moved in with her in Clemson, because her rent was it $75 a week, $300 a month? And so that we saved some money. Amen. And then we end up laddering up, saved some money, and bought our first house. But our landlord was Mr. E. I forgot what that stands for, but Mr. E, if you know the story. And then when we moved from the apartment to the house, and I would leave the light on, or even leave the water on. You know how you get in the shower, you kind of get it going? You get it hot. You don't want to just get right in there, or you know, you want it hot. And so at my house, the question that somebody in my house asked, who left the, you know, what the statement is, Mr. E don't pay the water bill. That was our old, because water was included in the $300 a month. And that wasn't a good deal. Wasn't that a good deal? Lights wasn't included, but definitely when the water, when that water get to running, and you forget and you go in the other room and do something else, Mr. E don't pay the water bill. Y'all know who said that, right? I didn't say their name. Then they're always asking me, who left the light on? Or EL, every light. That's, I'm letting y'all in. EL, my nickname is EL. Leave every light on. Don't y'all call me EL after church. My name is AL, not EL. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're going to teach us in this moment and in our time together. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, and thank you for your love. Thank you for covering the earth. Thank you for covering the United States. Thank you for covering South Carolina. Thank you for covering Seneca. Thank you for covering our household. We pray to you because it's not out of tradition. It's out of belief. We know that you exist, and so we know your word says when we come to you, we must first believe that you exist, and we know that you are real. So we're not just talking to be talking. We know you are on the other end of the telephone in glory, in eternity, listening to us. And you are hearing us, and you know that what we are in need of. Thank you for, again, healing the earth, healing our family members, providing for us, sustaining us. Thank you for the victories. Thank you for getting us through school, through graduation. Thank you for the next. You are so good, and your mercy and your love endures forever. In Jesus' name we do pray. How are you? That's the question. Amen. All right, I want to talk about today. This is translated, where are you? That's the question. Everybody say, where are you? And it's translated from a Hebrew word. I'm going to teach y'all real quick. I'm going to do the best I can. Ayaka. Everybody say, ayaka. Everybody say, ayaka. One more time. Say, let it roll off. Say, ayaka. Ayaka is basically, where are you? Where are you? We are born looking like your daddy. Look at somebody and say, you look just like the Andersons. Come on, look at somebody and say, you look just like the Richardsons. Look at the Richardsons back there. Just looking like the Richardsons. You're born looking like your daddy. Look at the Portees up there in the back balcony. Can't even hide it. You're born looking like your daddy, but you die looking like your choices. I've said this before, but how many of us wish you could redo some past decisions? Raise your hand. I got 10 hands. And not decision, but decisions. If I give you a blank piece of paper right now, you could probably fill that thing up with the date, the time, the place. I wish I could have did something differently. You know, every maybe at least once a year, I'm going to sing this song. If I could turn back the hands of time. Y'all know that song? If I could turn back the hands of time. And by now, we should know this. You win some and you what? We win some and we what? Learn some. All right. And so this 66 book right here, I wish I would have opened it. I wish I would have opened it before every decision. I wish I would have prayed before every decision. Everybody say Bible. Bible. This is like a cookbook, by the way. And we're going to turn to in this cookbook to Genesis. Everybody say Genesis. And Genesis is actually my favorite book of the Bible, by the way. Many of you may know this, you may not know this, but in Genesis, there's a word hidden in Genesis. And if you can show it on the screen, and the word is gene. So it looks like Genesis to me. But Genesis in the English is spelled G-E-N-E-S-I-S, but it has nothing to do with the original language. The original language, the original word, which is Hebrew, is Bereshit. Everybody say Bereshit. Everybody say Bereshit. One more time, say Bereshit. Now, what was the Hebrew word for where are you? I'm just testing you. Ayaka. Yep, Ayaka. Where are you? When your spouse or somebody that you love, your kid is not at the house, you text him, Ayaka, where you at? That's really what it means in Ebonics. Where you at? All right, I'm hungry. Where you at? I'm starting to get hangry. Ayaka. Everybody say Ayaka. But God is telling us, is asking us this morning, where are you? Ayaka. God is saying Ayaka. So we're going to be in Genesis pretty much the entire teaching today. And Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving the earth. But Genesis, genes. When you think of gene, you think of DNA, genes. Everybody say gene. Gene. So the scriptures, so the Bible is a cookbook. Just wanted to say this. The Bible is a cookbook. I think of DNA. Everybody say DNA. And scriptures in the Bible. So if this is a cookbook, the recipes are in the Bible. Kind of like love your enemies. That's a recipe. It's almost like I love HGTV. I like looking at blueprints. I remember a prophet told me and Lex years ago, say, hey, you need to get the blueprint to a house. And I'm looking at this prophet saying, we got a house. And she is telling us to look, get some blueprints to another house. I'm like, we're good. We don't need another house. Why, you know, and she was right. It's just interesting how it ended up happening. And we had to get blueprints. And we still got the blueprints. And so love, the Bible is a blueprint. But the gene, so you have DNA, Bible, genes is like the recipe, but the gene is basically the blueprint for the kitchen, blueprint for the roof, blueprint for the bathroom. That's what gene is more specific. It's like a genetic code. A gene, write this down, or you could just listen. Gene is basically responsible for carrying instructions that tell your body how to. Everybody say how to. How to. How to. Gene is basically a how to. So it makes sense. The Bible is a how to. It's a self-help book. The best self-help book ever. But a gene will tell your body how to build, how to operate, how to maintain, and how to reproduce itself. Amen. So when I look at Genesis, it's like I get excited because It is a how to move, how to operate. And so in Genesis 1:26, it reads Genesis 1:26, all right? And if you don't know where Genesis is, you need to come to Sunday school, all right? Come to Sunday school, all right? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Did mankind? God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Genesis 1:27. In the image of God, look at the ownership here. This is very personal. It seems personal. It definitely seems like a clarity statement. Everybody say clarity. It's like a clarity statement because it seems like God wants nobody else to get the credit for our existence. He created. So in his word, it says he created us in his image. No, in his what? His own image and in his likeness, his own likeness in his image, because we can't get it twisted. God gets the credit for us. There's so many other entities or non-big G-O-D entities trying to get the credit for what? For us, for mankind, for creation. He created them male and female in his own image. Image is a representation and a visible reflection. By the way, I always have to say this because we need to renew our certificate of this understanding. And the understanding is men go to what restroom? In this church, all the men go where? To your left, my right. And all the women goes where? To your right, my left. Clap your hands. It's just clarity. We just make sure we have clarity. We can't get it twisted. That is no hate. That is all clarity. And actually, it is love. In his own image. We didn't come from apes. We didn't come from monkeys. So we don't act like animals. Amen. Amen. We didn't come from rocks. So we ain't got to walk around being so hard. Acting like we didn't come from rocks. So we ain't got to be acting hard. Amen. We didn't come from bears. So we don't go around attacking people. Amen. Like they are in Greenville, or at least roaming around. You see more bear sightings these days, right? What, like, I got something for them, though, all right? And we didn't come from plants like they teach in elementary school. So we don't blend in with everything, amen? We don't blend in, we blend out, amen? Apes. First of all, if we came from apes, why are apes still around? And if we came from apes, why can't apes talk? If we came from apes, it seems like we will be able to have a conversation with an ape. Amen. Look at somebody say, "I didn't come from no monkey." Y'all, that could go right back to the pit where it came from. In the image of God, he created them. Genesis. But we know Genesis comes from what Hebrew word? Bereshit. And Bereshit is translated, it's a phrase, in the beginning. So that one word, that one Hebrew word means in the beginning. Everybody say in the beginning. So it's like at the very beginning of time, God wants to set certain things in order. Everybody say order. That's what's wrong with what's in the world. We are out of order. Amen. And God, maybe perhaps this message, this teaching this morning on the House of Judah podcast is so somebody can hear this and we get back in order. Amen. God wants us to act a certain way, and it is very well, for lack of better words, it's spelled out in Genesis. Amen. It's like when mama and daddy, when you leave the house, they say, "Hey, boy, when you leave the house, you leave this house, you better act like you got." That's the desire of your mama and your daddy. Or I don't know who said that. I don't know who was famous for saying that in your house. Act like you got some sense. In my house, it was, "Y'all act like you got some sense. Don't you embarrass me." Y'all ever had your people to tell you that? Yeah. Don't you embarrass me. All right. My wife tell me that all the time. You're supposed to get a haircut today. You gonna wear that? Because I am a representation. Oh, I'm gonna get you today. I am a representation of you. God saying you are a representation of me. And my that, he takes it really personal when he writes a song and he puts the notes on the paper and the sheet music and we don't play it right. He's writing the song. He has a quarter note here. He has eighth note here. He has a dotted quarter note here. He has a rest here. And then we know how to read it, and we play the music wrong. He takes it very, very, very personal. He says, in his own image. So when we step into the world, God wants, he wants us to act a certain way. He wants us to be the head and not the... He wants us to be above with the head down saying we are Christian. Are you a Christian? Yeah. What's wrong with you? Nobody knows the trouble I see. God is ready to just push you off the cliff and say, you ain't representing me. He wants us to be the lender and not the what? So let's be confident. If God has blessed you and if you got it going on in God, if then that's how he wants you to act, because you are a representation of him. When you got all A's in school, not me, I don't know if that was your testimony. Brianna, but that's not what I'm trying to lift. But I bet you got a pen. I bet you got a pen. Did you have any family members there? Did you have any church family members there? And I bet that they was just like that. It looked like they got pinned. And I'm sure they were just like, just what they call it, peacock proud. I'm sure we wanna make God peacock proud. Like literally, he is proud when he said, "Look at him paying his bills. Look at him being faithful to the house of God. Look at him being faithful to his wife. Look at her getting another degree. Got more degrees than a thermometer." That's your testimony. That may not be my testimony, but look at her using her gift. That is, God loves that because we are made in his own image. We don't have to play it small. Amen. You can say, yes, I got a new car. Yes, I'm debt free. Like that stuff, it means nothing to God. Do you know in heaven, somebody said that our mansions in heaven, we're going to need a car to go from one room to the next. We're going to need that little raggedy car you got to go from one room to the next just in your house. God ain't standing about the stuff down here. He ain't standing about anything that we think is grand. He's not even intimidated by the trillionaires. We got our first trillionaire in the country or the world, right? Is it in the world or in the U.S.? In the world. I thought a trillionaire. And God is not even intimidated by the very first trillionaire. All right. In God's image, it should give us permission to brag. Write down the word brag. Everybody say brag. Or you can just spell it. It starts with B. B stands for be. R stands for real. And grateful. So be real. Brag. Look at somebody say brag. It means be real. Be real. Be real. Be real means God gets the credit. So brag. Yes. Be real. Yes, I feel good today. I lost 2 pounds. Brag. Be real and grateful. Everybody say brag. That's what be real stands for. Be real. Act like you got some sense because you were created in my own image. Do y'all feel good right now? Brag. Come on. Testify about something God has done for you. Be real and grateful for 2 seconds. Come on. Brag. He gave you. Yes. Real. Come on. Brag. Brag. Be real and grateful. Clothes on my back. Shoes on my feet. Louis Vuittons or Larry Vuittons. You still be grateful. a sound mind. In his own image. This may seem like it doesn't fit, but this is a major concern in my household, because I went to the mall yesterday, and even some of these pictures that you see on the screen has me so concerned, because somebody is leaving the house and they are acting like they don't have good sense. And so I wish police officers and government officials call our organization, call me, call the church a little bit more, because we have the answer. Amen. I'm at the mall, haven't been to the mall in a minute. So, and then I'm hearing all this noise. I'm literally hearing noise of fighting, wanting to fight. I said, I'm getting out of here. I'm like, okay. And so the background noise in the mall yesterday centered around fighting with, if I may say it this way, our people, our young people, our people. Black or white, they're still our people. Amen. And so, and even the teen takeovers, like, why did they have to bury somebody because one of the tourists in, I believe, Chicago got caught up in crossfire at one of the teen takeovers that's happening across the country. And even why did this young man get locked up and tried as an adult on the left? I tried to blur out some of the faces, because I believe that I believe these young people are also victims. Amen. I think they are victims. I think that when we are irresponsible, they suffer. Makes sense? When we are negligent, they suffer. The next generation suffers. Amen. I'm old enough now to say young people. And if you're old enough to say young people, then we have a responsibility to try to stop this nonsense. And even look at these two guys right here in the spirit and say, guys, what y'all doing? I mean, you're getting, like, they got locked up for carjacking. You know, for carjacking. And so, in his image, when you have the revelation of created in God's image, it makes the world a better place. That worldview of in God's image makes the world a better place with the next generation. That's what we should be teaching. And even if you got this in this room, you got the message for the day, perhaps it's a charge for us to spread this message in our family. Because when we're 97 years old, who's going to take care of me? If my family members, if my wife decides to put me in a place, a facility, I hope you never do that, sweets. I wanted you to take care of me. If for sickness or health, I told you I was gonna get you today, for better or for worse. Who's gonna take? So if she decides to do that, what is the worldview of these kids taking care of me when I'm 97? Like, we should be concerned about the worldview of the next generation who we're training up to take care of us. Because if they don't care, if they don't have a made in God's image, if they don't see you made in God's image, they are not going to respect you or give you the best care. Because love your neighbor as yourself, that's where you want that to be in the hearts of doctors. That's where you want that to be in the hearts of nurses, caretakers. Because I need to take care of you like it was me. And I'm not going to just give you some cold food or some food that maybe, y'all see where I'm going with this? Made in his image. I feel like I'm taking a little bit too much time, so I need to speed this thing up. I don't have my clock with me, so y'all tell me when it's 12:15, okay? Made in God's image. Psalm 139 sounds like Genesis. Psalm 139 sounds like Genesis to me, because it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What word in Psalm 139 verse 14 sounds like Genesis? It's the word made. Wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. I will praise you, for I am fearfully. Everybody say fearfully. I usually gloss, pass over this word fearfully, But it doesn't mean that we walk in fear, or it doesn't mean that we walk around causing fear. That's not what that means. I don't know if you've ever looked up this word, but fearfully comes from a Hebrew word that means astonishing. Look at somebody say, I'm strikingly. I'm astonishing. I'm an awe-inspiring craftsmanship. So when you see that word fearfully, it's translated into I'm astonishing. I'm unique barcode that should scan God's image. And my lovely, beautiful sister, Kim, let me borrow this barcode scanner. I'm not going to walk the room unless you tempt me. But if this is a kingdom scanner, I wonder what would, if I could scan you, would it scan? I don't know. What would it scan? Because remember, Genesis in his own image, DNA, genetic code, on the inside of you. What's the Hebrew word for where are you? What is it? Ayaka. Where are you? This will reveal what's on the inside of you. Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Oh, I'm gonna scan a few people. It's still calculating. It looks like it's still calculating. Don't make me walk this room. I know you can't see it on the podcast. Let me scan you. And this kingdom reader says, it's still calculating. I'm not even gonna come up with anything because I don't want to be a false prophet. But God knows. He is scanning. It's like you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, you are a unique. Now, this is my translation, by the way. You are a unique barcode that should scan in God's image. I wonder what your barcode is reading these days. Ayaka, where are you? Is it doubt, fear? Is it victory? Is it the cares of the world? Is it CNN? Why does that person make you so angry? Why are you giving them so much rent-free space in your head? Like, that's on your barcode. Like, every time it scans all of that. That is in there. Genesis 2, let's keep going. Got a little ways to go. Genesis 2, y'all okay? Try to make this thing as plain as if I'm talking to a 7-year-old. Amen? Genesis 2, 7. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That's why we say God is in you. We live, we move, and have our what? Being. Genesis is that book. I'm telling you, Genesis is that book. 2:15. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God, I condensed this for us. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, which is translated atmosphere of God or the environment of God. God took us and he put us in his environment. A physical place, yes, but it's more about a spiritual place. Amen. Ayaka, where are you? Well, I'm at the house. No, that's not what I mean. Ayaka, where are you? I'm in my car. I'm about to order at the drive-thru at Waffle House. Well, lies you tell, because Waffle House don't got a drive-thru. God knows. Don't try to fool God. He put us in the atmosphere, a physical place, yes, but a spiritual place where it's the environment of God, Garden of Eden, to work it and to take care of it. 16, and the Lord God commanded man. So let me just say this. God, at the very beginning in Genesis, put us in a place to do what? To work it, to take care of it. And y'all just getting some of my life today. At the mall yesterday, I'm in the store, and the young teenager with a badge, y'all want to know, he was complaining about us asking him to do something. I heard him. I'm sitting down on the little bench waiting in line. Man, why are these people asking me to get stuff? Well, sir, you got a badge on. You got a badge on that says, I work here. I forgot the name of the store. And so, again, God, we got to work. A man that don't work, don't eat. We got to work. Look at somebody say, we got to work. What does that got to do with anything? I'm not sure. But I saw work and I was triggered. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Now, that's work to eat from the tree, but that doesn't sound like hard labor to me. Now, all you got to do is just go over there and pick the grape the size of a basketball and eat it. And we complaining about that? Anybody in this room, you dig ditches for a living. Just want to be fair. Who dig ditches for a living? Who lay bricks for a living? Okay. Everybody say work it. All right. I'm not saying what you do is not. If you use your brain for a living, raise your hand. That's me. That's work too. That's very tiring at times. Let me keep going. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will what? You will what? What kind of die? Surely die. Aunt surely die. You will surely die. Surely die. You're going to die. And we celebrate and we shout about the promises of God are what? Yay and what? But your parents say, I promise you, if you go to school and you show out, I promise you, I'm coming to that school and I'm going to do what? Is that a threat or is that a promise? Oh, that's a promise. And so when we see the promises of God are yay and amen, you may get a little quiet. And you have to clarify, well, wait a minute. What promises? Which promises? Because this sounds like something, like if we cross the line, something bad is going to happen. Ayaka, where are you? Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning or crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Let's keep reading. Verse 6, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining what? Wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was in the other room. No, who was down the street playing basketball. No, who was at the Dallas Cowboys game while she was talking to the enemy. No, where was the husband? He was right there with her. Did y'all know that? Both of them were open. And he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Y'all know what that sound like. Y'all know a sound. Y'all know, you know, when you done something and your parents get close and you start backing up, you start trying to do what? I'm just talking about me. Like when I used to get in trouble, I used to basically try to disappear. I try to hide. Amen. That's in 1980s. That's hide and seek was my favorite game because I was always in the 80s. I was something else in the 80s. And you was something else. I was about to say 30s, but y'all not that old. I mean, I would try to hide. And this is what Adam and Eve did. He said, verse 9, but the Lord God called the man, Ayaka, where are you? Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I did what Alpheus did in the 80s. I hid. I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, again, God is asking us a question because he already knows. He's asking the question for him or for who? For them, for us. Verse 12, the man said, the woman you put here, the woman you have the nerve. Adam, you have the nerve. First of all, you're blaming God and you're blaming the woman. He asked you a question. This is a yes and no question. Yes and no answer. Yes or no, did you disobey me? Yes or no? Did you eat of this tree? Well, the woman you put here with me gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Everybody say yes or no. Turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their lives with foolishness. With foolish things they do, and they do what? They blame the Lord for it. They blame the Lord for it. Well, God, I'm doing better now. Well, how old are you? So I'll say this in full dignity. Last Sunday, I had the privilege to speak at a youth day. I spoke at a youth day. Notice what I said. I spoke at a youth day. And at the very end, at the benediction, the invitation, I said, we haven't done the invitation. Perhaps somebody in the room would love to accept Christ. Confess, like you've never confessed Jesus. And three men at a youth service later, I said three men, and probably one of the gentlemen was twice my age. Like perhaps 80s, 50s, and a 20-something-year-old at a youth service. What am I going with this? Because people ruin their lives with foolishness, things they do, and then they blame the Lord for it. What I'm trying to lift is sometimes, perhaps, now these gentlemen are saved. They're saved, okay? And the 80-year-old is really what I want to focus on, okay? Perhaps 80, 79 years, we live like we wanted to live. And then now we make a decision and we choose God. And we want him to basically do what we want him to do. That makes sense? I'm trying to make this thing plain. It's almost like when I start giving out prizes when I'm teaching kids, there's this one or two kids, they act up. And then the moment they're acting up the whole rehearsal, the moment they see me giving out prizes, guess what they do? Blessings. I'll be good. I'm good. And they're really only trying to be good so they can what? So they can get a prize. I see it every time. And I make them work for it the rest of the rehearsal like they're going to get a prize. And I don't give it to them. I'm not about to reward bad behavior. Amen. And so, but it's just amazing how it happens. And I wonder, are we like that? You know, God, I'm good now. So you can hurry up and bless me. I'm good now. Hurry up. And perhaps for all of this time that we disobeyed God, God was telling you in the spirit and you ignored him. Hurry up. Your life is coming to an end. Hurry up. You're missing out on my good promises. Hurry up. Amen. Now, all those gentlemen, they're going to heaven. Amen. But the quality of life, that's why we have to teach the young people to serve God early. Because you Taquisha and JJ and die and go to hell. That makes sense? So, I mean, y'all see my heart there, and I'm detouring a little bit, but the Bible says in Matthew, I'm almost finished, Matthew 13:25. Ayakah, where are you? Adam, Eve, where you at? I know where you at, but I'm really asking, where are you? Ayakah, while men slept, his enemy came in and talked to Eve and whispered in Eve's ear, did God really say, you should disobey God? You should blatantly go against God. Now, that's not what the devil did to Eve, by the way. But while men slept, the reason why I'm saying that, because Adam was right there with Eve while the devil was talking to his wife. And he said nothing. He's right there. He's not in the other room. He's not in another country. He is right there the whole time in verse 6, Genesis 3, verse 6. We got to say something in 2026. Look at somebody say, say something. Everybody say something before something bad happens. I mean, say something to whoever, to whatever. You got to say something. Speak to that spirit and say, address it. Look at somebody say, address it. I don't care if it's the highest position in the U.S. Everybody say something. If it ain't right, say something. I know many of us in this room don't have an issue with saying something. They're going to lift it. They're going to lift it on, I didn't say just look straight ahead. I'm not. If it ain't right, say something. I mean, many of us in this room, me included, I mean, we want it on wax. We will post about it. That's saying something. We can't be like Adam sitting there. I don't know if y'all have ever saw this. Like Adam is sitting there and the enemy is talking to somebody in his family and he ain't saying nothing. He ain't saying nothing. Because he blamed God. He said, the woman you gave me, God, gave me this fruit. Well, he had to be close to the woman when the enemy was talking to her for him to get the fruit. But the Bible explicitly says he was right there. I'm sorry. I may be saved, but the enemy, you can't have anybody else in my family. I'm going to say something. Every family reunion is going to touch yourself. You, my family, you're going to eventually be my family. All my classmates, my students. If I have to get in trouble at USC Upstate, I'm going to get in trouble. But you ain't going to be in my class. It's a gospel choir class. And you're not going to hear the gospel. Amen. I'm going to say something. Amen. Look at somebody say, say something. Before something bad happens. I was with 38 kids Friday. They asked me to do one thing, but I had to do what I needed to do. I mean, I'm cornering kids. I said, hey, I see it in your eyes. I love you, man. Love you, too. I said, I love you, man. Love you, too. You got to look at somebody, say something. Adam sitting there. I lift it one last time. Adam sitting there while the devil is talking to his family member, and he didn't say nothing. And we're still paying for it to this day. Silence is, you're being complicit. You're being compliant. I guess that's really what I want to say. When we don't say nothing, we agree. Perhaps we agree. Amen? Amen. The enemy, and I'll finish with this, the enemy changes your mind before he changes your behavior. Eve, the devil never told Eve to just eat the fruit. What did he say? He said, Eve, did God really say? That's all. Eve ate the idea before she ate the fruit. So it's easy for the devil to put bad fruit in your hand if he can put doubt in your heart. The enemy doesn't always push you to sin. He will put your favorite toppings in front of you. Oreos, chocolate. White chocolate. He'll put your favorite toppings in front of you, and then when you lift your head up, you where you don't want to be. If the devil can get your attention, he can get your what? Your actions. Did God really say? That's all he did. And then now God is saying to Adam and Eve, Ayaka. Everybody say Ayaka. Did y'all enjoy this teaching? Amen. Clap your hands. Yep. Amen. He is saying to Adam and Eve, Ayaka, Ayaka. It sounds like we're speaking in tongues, but we're speaking in Hebrew. Ayaka, it's a very, if God ever, if you ever hear God in the spirit say Ayaka to you, Ayaka, what he is really saying is, bro, you good? That's really what he's saying. He is saying, and it's not necessarily tied to sin either. He is saying, what is your condition? Ayaka, everybody say Ayaka. He is saying to us, perhaps some of us in this room, well, Ayaka, where are you spiritually these days? Ayaka, because I don't know when God made Adam and Eve, I don't know how long it was before he created Adam and Eve, and then they got to the point where God did not recognize them. Am I making sense? When God says Ayaka, he is basically saying, y'all write this down, he is saying, where is my image? We just read, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He is saying to a certain people, certain group that has decided to make a decision to pervert, to change, to alter, to be like 100% defiant. And God created them one way, and they say, you know what, I don't trust the creator. And so I'm going to do the very opposite. And that's the enemy at work. Did God really say you were created like that? When God says, God is saying to America, Ayaka, where are you? Supposedly we were founded on what? Christian values. Perhaps God is saying to America, Ayaka, where are you? What's gotten into you? Why so much leniency to sin? Ayaka, where are you in this room emotionally? So when God asked Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed him, and he walked, he got close, but before he got really close to them, they heard him say, where are you? He wasn't asking them for their physical location. He was asking them, What spiritual state are you in? Where have you gone? That's what he's really asking. Because you have made a decision that has hurt me, and I don't want to hurt you. And so I'm just like, I'm not even, notice the first thing God should have did, in my opinion, would say, hey, why y'all just disobeyed me? But he didn't even do that. He just said, Ayaka. He says, where are you? It's almost like counseling. You know, like when, like, did you really mean to do that? Did you really mean, like, I understand where you are right now. Ayaka. I'm going to read this. I wrote this down. Every time I write something down, I can write it down on paper and read it better than I can say it. Hopefully it comes out how I. Somewhere along the way, you lost the real you. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. Somewhere along the way, you lost the real you. I don't know if God is saying that to some of us in this room. He says, the fire is not as hot. When you first got saved, you know, when I start revealing myself to you, you were hot. I mean, you were coming in hot. God says, your innocence is gone. Your childlike faith is not a child anymore. It's grown, it's grew up. You don't have to, your childlike faith is really a blessing to you if you keep your childlike faith. You're unstoppable with a childlike faith. You have let that change. Drama has been your portion, and you have let that change you. Ayaka, where you at? Where are you? You ain't the only one going through. I know you're going through, but why? This person is going through, but she ain't letting it affect her. Ayaka, where are you? What has become of you? Where are you? Has provision perverted you? Every time we eat the good of the land and forget God, it causes God to ask us, Ayaka, where are you? Like, okay, maybe I'm too good to you. like he was to Adam and Eve. Like, they had everything they needed. They had provision. And then they found themselves in a state where God didn't recognize them. It seems like provision would make us closer to God. But for some of us, sometimes provision will draw us away from God. And then we don't want to be in the position where God does what to provision. You take that thing away. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves what? Have y'all ever seen that pattern? Am I the only one that's seen that pattern in life? Never prayed so much in 2012, near the end of 2012. I mean, on my knees, almost 20. You let something bad happen on your knees a whole lot. Ayaka, where are you? But I don't even recognize you now. Were you that, like, where? Your knees are just as fresh as, like, it still do you still have the tag on your knees? Does your knees still have the new car smell? What has gotten into you? Ayaka. We have to say something. Alpheus, you have to say something. Alpheus, you have to decline going to the rated R movie these days. They can handle it. You can't handle it. Amen. Alpheus, certain things you can't do. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. Alpheus, you can't do it because you can't do it. I was done 5 minutes ago. Did y'all enjoy this teaching? So if you could just take a moment just to answer God. God is saying, Ayaka, where are you? And be honest with him. Please be honest. He says, where are you? How you feeling these days? What is a lot? Something different. I already know there's a lot. But I'm the one who can help you. I can make it happen. I am like Little Mr. James, a social media sensation. Little Mr. James says, we pray to a make it happen God. God says, I'm a Mr. Make It Happen God. So I'm going to hush for a few minutes. And you guys be honest with God, because he is asking you. I really feel strongly that he perhaps is asking us, where are you? What's gotten into you? You're changing a little bit. I made you in my image. So let's be grateful that God is asking us that question, and I'll hush. Answer God. Be honest with him.